Through Zion Mishnah Beis. Previous Mishnah, we mentioned that a person who by mistake accidentally performs one of the malachos is obligated to bring a korban chatas. This Mishnah, or Mishnah we'll be discussing now, lists for us the 39 malachos, the 39 creative acts that are forbidden on Shabbos. Why is it that Rebbe begins a Mishnah of those malachos arbim chasar? Echas, why is it that our Mishnah begins by telling us that there are 40 minus 1 forbidden acts? And this being the Mishnah that is given is because this is parallel to the Mishnah in Makos, which there mentions that a person who transgresses a negative commandment, a lav, receives arbaim chaser echas, 40 minus 1 lashes. A person who transgresses a lav from the Torah, a negative commandment, receives 39 lashes. Ve'im yakenu v'lo yosif, tells the Torah, 40 a person shall receive and not more. And from here the rabbis understood that this really means 39 malchus. So again, to create some similar parallel language, 40 minus 1, 39 lashes, 39 malachas are forbidden on Shabbos. Now the Mishnah will detail for us what are the 39 malachos, the 39 creative acts that were needed for the construction of the Mishkan. And in fact, what the Mishnah does is it categorizes them by various stages. The first 11 malachos are referred to as the 11 stages in order to create the bread, part of the bread baking process, the Achanas HaPas. However, in the Mishkan, it wasn't the pas necessarily that we are being discussed in terms of the creative acts of the Mishkan, but really is referring to the Semimani Hatzava, the dyes that were needed in the construction of the Mishkan. So although really it's the dyes that we are referring to that were done in the Mishkan, nonetheless, the Mishnah used the stages in reference to pas, something which is obviously much more common to the average person than creating a dye. So what we are going to do, we will list the 39 malachos, we will translate them, and as well we'll give some examples, not just of the av malacha, but also a little bit of the tolada, a little bit of the derivatives of the malacha as well, which are also Yisurei d'oraisa, they are also biblically prohibited. Not just the avos malachos, not just the general categories, but even the derivatives all would be considered an Isur d'oraisa. Let us begin going through each one of the malachos, the av malacha and the tolada, the main malacha and the derivative, and provide a few practical examples when possible. And the series of malachos are divided into separate sections, separate parts that were needed, required to construct the Mishkan. The first 11 describe the creating of the pas, of bread, although the commentaries actually are quite clear that really it is the dyes that were created in the Mishkan. However, just to make it more, shall we say, practical, the average person creates pas, bread, and not necessarily dye, and therefore the Mishnah details for us the first 11 stages in reference to creating the bread baking process. However, it is really the dyes that were the reason for the Isser itself, the Mishkan, and for the 11 stages, the 11 malachos that were needed to create these dyes. The first malacha is the malacha of Zareah, is the malacha of sowing. The tolada of this malacha would include planting, grafting, pruning, really anything that is done to a tree to make it grow better, even pouring water over seeds would fall under the malacha of Zareah. Next malacha is choresh, of plowing. The tolada of this malacha would be anything that a person digs in the ground to improve the ground in any manner used and done to improve the land would be considered an Isser d'oraisa of Choresh. The next malacha is kotzer, reaping. The Av Malacha includes gleaning grapes and really plucking anything from its point of growth would be considered a tolada of Koter. Nesh Malacha Ma'amer, binding sheaves, gathering ears of reaped corn to make sheaves, or gathering sheaves to make a stack. The tolada of this Malacha would include collecting fruit or even wood in the place of growth, Makom Gidulam, and making them into one pile. The next Malacha Dash, of threshing, beating ears of corn to remove their seeds. The Tolada would include separating beans from their dry pods and anything similar to that. The next Malacha of Zora, of winnowing, which is scattering produce in the wind and removing the chaff from it. That's Zoreh. The next Malacha is Borer, of sorting. A person sorts the waste matter. A person removes, let's say, pebbles and dirt from food by hand. The next Malacha is Tochen, grinding. A person grinds the grains and turns them into flour. The tolade here would be anything grinding, for example, grinding coffee in a grinder would also be tochen, the Issur D'oraisa of tochen. The next Malacha is merakeid, is sifting. A person sifts flour in a sieve in order to remove the bran. The next Malacha is lash, which is kneading. A person kneads the dough. Finally, the number 11 in this series, the Ha'ofet, is baking. And again, although really we are referring to creating the dyes, which would be boiling, nonetheless, our Mishnah lists baking because it is part of the bread-making process, and the culmination of that process. And any type of cooking whatsoever, anything that would enhance cooking, for example, even stirring a pot. By stirring a pot, you speed up the cooking process. That would also be the Issur D'oraisa, the biblical prohibition of Bishul. The next series of Malachos are part of the process that was needed in order to prepare the clothing, all of which were actually used in the Mishkan for to prepare the curtains, to prepare the Urios. The first stage is gozes, of shearing the wool. And the tolada of this malacha would be even plucking chicken feathers or even plucking out hair. The malabno, person who were to bleach, person who were to wash the wool in order to make it white. The tolada of this malacha would be washing any garment in water, or even soaking a dirty garment in water would be the tolada of Malagno. The next malach is the hamenatzpo, of combing it. A person comes and combs the wool in order to separate its strands. This malach is followed by the hatsovo, of dyeing the wool, or any other type of dyeing. The hatove, of spinning, of making threads from the wool, or flax, or cotton, or other materials. The next malacha is the hamesech, of mounting the warp on the loom, from the top beam to the lower one. The next malacha is v'osech shnei basei nirin, of making two loops, making or even repairing two rings or two loops, in each one of which one warp thread is. Other commentaries actually say, no, this malacha refers to the bringing in of the warp threads through the leashes in the loom, making two meshes. Next malacha is va'oreg shnei chutin, of weaving two threads, which refers to the weaving the woof thread into the warp thread. And in fact, the tolada of this would even include weaving a net for windows. That would also be considered a tolada of this malacha. The next malacha is Papotzea Shnei chutin, removing two threads, or removing of the woof threads from the warp threads, or vice versa, in order to arrange the weaving. Others, in fact, say no, this malacha refers to when a thread breaks in the middle of the curtain, no one wants to join it and repair it. He separates the two ends of the threads and he spins them with his fingertips. Others explain that this malacha refers to something else altogether. It refers to a person. When you complete the weaving, he cuts the remaining warp threads. Again, various interpretations to what this malacha of Avotzea Shnei Chutim refers to. The next two in the series, Vahakosher, Vahamatir, person who ties the knot and person who unties the knot. It's important to note, the Gemara actually says that these two malacha were performed in the Mishkan when they would trap the chilazon. The chilazon was the animal which the tchelas color was produced. The people who were trapping the chilazon, they needed to take strands from one net and add them to another net, untying from one net and tying them on to the other net in order to ensure they had trapped these chilazon properly. Next, malacha, v'hatofer, shtei tiros, sewing two stitches. This refers to a person who actually has tied a knot after he had sewn two stitches, in order for him to be chayav. So even if a person sews two stitches, a person would need to solidify that by making a knot at the end in order to be liable, in order to be chayav for hatofer shtei tefiras. Another possibility is a person actually makes three stitches that would also be considered part of this isser as well. And then hakorea almanas lisfor shtei tefiras, a person who tears in order to sew two stitches, is also transgresses the last of these 13 malachos. So even though it's a destructive act, you are actually tearing something, since there's a creative dimension to it. Here, it's the purpose of destroying it is to create something productive in order to sew two stitches. That is, in fact, the malacha. So just to destroy two stitches is not the biblical prohibition, but rather someone who tears in order to be creative, in order to sew two more stitches, that is the Isser D'oraisa. Okay, the next seven malachos were used to prepare cloth for parchment, and in the Mishkan, there were these seven stages were used to prepare the skins of the Elim and the Techashim. Hatzad Tzvi, trapping a deer, or in fact any other animal that requires catching. Vashochto, slaughtering it. Hamafshito, or flaying it, flaying the hide. Those are the next two. Hamocho, insulting the hide, which is needed in order to begin the tanning process. The ma'abed es oro, and tanning its hide. The hamochako, and smoothing the hide. So this includes the scraping of the hairs of the hide and smoothing it to turn it into parchment, or anything else which requires a smooth hide would be considered the hamochko. The next malacha, the hamochatro, and cutting up the hide into pieces as needed. Akosev shte osios, the person who writes two letters. This was most probably referring to the writing of the letters on the boards, so that they knew where to match them up. An aleph on one and a beis on the other, for example. The hamochek, and erasing. Almanas, the hamochek, almanas lichtov shte osios, and erasing in order to write two letters. Again, something which is destructive, the mochek, to erase. However, since the ultimate purpose is to be constructive, erasing in order to write two letters, therefore, it is a constructive act and is considered an Isser D'oraisa. Finally, the last series of malachos, the last eight, deal with various different purposes in the Mishkan, and they are the following: Abona, Soser, building, or Soser that's being destructive of a building, but again has to be, doesn't mean smashing down a building, it has to be something positive and creative, perhaps. And the Mechabe, an extinguishing of fire, and a Mavir, and lighting a fire. How is it possible that a person can extinguish a fire? Where is there something productive in that manner? I understand, perhaps, a Soser, sometimes pulling down, destroying a building can be constructive. What about extinguishing a fire? So there the Gemara actually says, if a person is extinguishing the fire in order to light a fire, or perhaps to make charcoal a pecham, so that would be considered productive, that would be the Isu Daraisa of Mechabe. The next Malacha is a Makeh the Patish, literally means the final strike of a hammer onto an object, onto a kli, in order to finish it off. What happened is, a person would be making, let's say, an item. He would look at it, maybe perhaps required a little bit of touching up. And once it would finish, they would, you know, strike it with a hammer to deliver the final blow, and therefore put it onto the market for sale. That final blow, the makeh patish, that is the iser de oraisa. And the last malacha, the 39th malacha, is hamotzi mirishus lirishus. The malacha that we dealt with way back in the beginning, in the first parak, in the first mishnah, the person must lift up an item from rishus A and transported into Rishus B. Person lifts up an item from Rishus HaYachid and must place it down into Rishus HaRabim, or vice versa, from Rishus HaRabim, from the public domain to Rishus HaYachid, to the private domain, language we've spoken about a great deal so far in our study of the Mishnayos and the Masechet Shabbos. Hari Elu Avos Malachos Arba'im Chasar Echas. And the Mishnah concludes and states, yes, these are the main 39. These are the main 40 minus 1 malachos that are forbidden to do on Shabbos. These are the 39 creative acts, and if a person transgresses them, they violate the Issur Daraisa, the biblical prohibition. What is the reason why we have to reiterate this again? We know from the beginning of our mission that there are 39 malachos. Why do we have to end with it? Just a nice ending. In fact, the Gemara here learns that wants to teach us an important lesson. If a person knew that it was Shabbos, but he didn't know which types of work were, in fact, Asur, based on a previous Mishnah, he is Chayav a maximum of 39 Korbans, 39 Korban Chatats, and not more, because one Korban for each Malacha. So, the reiteration of the statement really wants to tell us that there's a maximum of 39 Korbanos that a person could bring, if, in fact, they were not aware of these specific 39 malachos, and they performed them b'shogeg, accidentally, on Shabbos. Perek Zayin Mishnah Gimel. This Mishnah will deal with an important rule. This rule we'll be discussing in more detail over the next number of Mishnayos. But this rule is an important one in terms of Hotzah, in terms of carrying from a Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRabim in a private and public location. What amount of an item, what amount of a specific item must a person carry in order to be Chayav? Either Chayav because he did it accidentally or intentionally, regardless whether it's Shogeg or Mezid, how much, what is the amount? So here is the rule that Chazal set out for us. V'od klal acher amru. And here the Chachamim set out another rule. Kol hakasher lahatznia umatzniin kamohu votzu v'shabes chayav alav chatas. Whatever is considered to be significant and set aside, it is useful for somebody, an amount of something which has some type of tangible benefit to it, the measurement is enough that people would regard it as important and would put it aside in order to transport it somewhere or to use it somewhere. And this individual, Hotsu v'Shabbos, he took it out from one domain, from one rishus to another rishus. In such a case, chayav alav chatas. A person must bring a korban chatas. Carry this amount accidentally from rishus to another. So, for example, the person is very rich. The object has no value to him. Or generally, people would not set aside this amount because it is considered insignificant, and a person carried that amount, a person would not be chayav for hotzah. As the Mishnah says, "Hosheinu kasher latznia, ve'in matznin kamahu v'otzu v'shabbos." The only time if a person were to set aside an amount, because for him, for every reason, that is significant, if another person came and carried that amount, which for that person who actually carried it is insignificant, he would not be chayav. A person is only chayav. A person is only liable when he sets aside an amount of a certain item that for him has value and has some utilitarian purpose.